This is the utmost, the greatest, the perfect auspiciousness. Nowadays, people pursue wealth, knowledge, health, and long life. This is called good fortune. If the Buddha asks us to learn and practice Buddhism, but we do not receive what he said we would, then we will reject the teachings. Why? If we cannot get what we wish for now, how can we believe we will receive what is promised to us in the next life? It is all too distant and uncertain. When will we get to enjoy the promised great reward? However, if we can receive benefits now, we will be much more likely to believe in the promise of even greater rewards in the future. By truly practicing Buddhism, we will receive all that we wish for. This is similar to a tree blossoming and bearing fruit. Only when we see the beautiful blossoms will we believe that there will be fruit. If the flower does not blossom, how can we believe there will be fruit? Therefore, we have the great good fortune brightness cloud following the great auspicious brightness cloud. We must cultivate the cause before we can receive the result. The next guiding principle is represented by the great merit brightness cloud. All Buddhas spent a long time, 100 eons, cultivating good fortune after attaining Buddhahood. Why? A Buddha cannot help sentient beings if he himself does not have great good fortune. People will not believe in a teacher who talks of it but obviously lacks it. However, when the teacher has it and explains that it comes from cultivation, then people will listen and follow his or her teachings. Therefore, only if the teacher has great good fortune and virtue in addition to wisdom can he or she help sentient beings. Thus, the Buddha taught us to cultivate both good fortune and wisdom. However, good fortune is different from merit, in that merit is the one that helps us to transcend the cycle of birth and death. We accumulate merit by practicing the three learnings of self-discipline, deep concentration, and wisdom. In our practice, we need to rely on the next principle of the great refuge, brightness cloud. This is not what is usually thought of as taking refuge in the triple jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Rather, it is to return to and rely upon the triple jewels, the great perfection of our true self-nature. The great brightness cloud, the great praise brightness cloud, symbolizes educating others about Buddhism, praising the perfect and infinite merits and virtues of the self nature. What does Buddhism teach us? To attain our perfect self nature. Zen Buddhism often says that we should search for the original state of our perfect self nature. In summary, Buddha Shakyamuni emitted light at the beginning of the Earth Treasure Sutra. This light has many infinite, boundless meanings, more than the 10 brightness clouds discussed. The first 5 brightness clouds are the great perfection of self-nature, and the last 5 are the function of self-nature. These 10 comprise the basis of the Buddha's teachings and are to be found in many sutras, often represented by emissions of light. Many people read of the brightness clouds without any real understanding of the profound meanings within. Not only this sutra, but also all sutras start and flow from the great perfection. We will benefit much more from reading sutras once we understand these representations. The sequence of practice in Mahayana Buddhism is represented in China by the 4 great Bodhisattvas: Ditsang, Earth Treasure Bodhisattva of Zhuihua Mountain; Guanyin, Great Compassion Bodhisattva of Putao Mountain; Wanchishuli, Manjushri Bodhisattva of Utai Mountain; and Pushyan, Universal Worthy Bodhisattva of Amei Mountain. Earth treasure means stored treasure of the great Mother Earth, which represents our mind. Without the earth, nothing could survive. So the Buddha used the earth as a metaphor for our mind, which is the great perfection. It encompasses infinite compassion, wisdom, intuitive wisdom, auspiciousness, good fortune, merit, and virtue. Therefore, all that the Buddha taught is in the sutras, is infinite, is the great perfection. Understanding this will enable us to find the boundless meanings within. The Earth Treasure Sutra explains that we begin our learning and practice by being filial to our parents and respectful to our teachers and elders. Buddhism is an education of honoring teachers and revering their teachings, which is based on the foundation of filial piety. How can we expect a person who is not filial to his or her parents to respect his or her teachers? A teacher, regardless of learning and capabilities, cannot impart knowledge to a student who does not respect or listen to them. Therefore, only when we honor teachers and revere their teachings can we truly succeed in our learning of Buddhism. The original vow of Earth Treasure Bodhisattva Sutra is the sutra of filial piety, which is the very heart of the great perfection. All other perfections arise from it. From here, we extend this loving and caring for parents to respecting teachers and elders. We keep expanding from here until we respect and care for all sentient beings without discrimination or attachment. This is the enhancement and the extension of Earth Treasure Bodhisattva and is the teaching of Guan Yin Bodhisattva. Therefore, without filial piety, there would be no great compassion. This is similar to building a house. The second floor must be built upon the first floor. In being filial to our parents and showing compassion for all other beings, we should not use emotion. Rather, we need to base this compassion on rationale and wisdom. Only in this way can we attain positive results. Next is the third bodhisattva, Manjushri, who symbolizes wisdom, and universal worthy bodhisattva, who symbolizes the practice of filial piety, respect, compassion, and wisdom in our daily lives. If we practice these principles while interacting with others, matters, and objects, then we ourselves are universal worthy bodhisattva. The teachings of universal worthy bodhisattva are perfect. As the Flower Adornment Sutra tells us, we cannot attain Buddhahood if we do not follow his teachings. Why? This bodhisattva is perfect in every thought, word, and deed. Without true wisdom, the great vow of universal worthy bodhisattva cannot be fulfilled. These four great bodhisattvas exemplify this understanding and represent the perfection of Mahayana Buddhism. Therefore, from Earth Treasure Bodhisattva, we learn filial piety and respect. From Guan Yin Bodhisattva, we learn great compassion. From Manjushri Bodhisattva, we learn great wisdom. And from Universal Worthy Bodhisattva, we learn the great vows and conduct. Buddha Shakyamuni used innumerable methods to correspond with the level of attainment of his listeners. However, regardless of the particular method, he never deviated from the great perfection. In other words, all his teachings arose from the self nature. Consequently, all methods are equal. It is like the harmony between the leading role and the supporting roles in the Flower Adornment Sutra. If Buddha Shakyamuni is the leading role, then all other Buddhas are the supporting roles. When Buddha Amitabha is the leading role, then Buddha Vairocana will be the supporting role. Any Buddha can take the leading role. Harmonious cooperation between the roles is also found among the bodhisattvas. If we regard Guan Yin Bodhisattva as the leading role in our learning of Buddhism, then all the others, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, are the supporting roles. If Earth Treasure Bodhisattva takes the leading role, then Guan Yin Bodhisattva and others take the supporting roles. This principle applies to sutras as well. When we choose the Infinite Life Sutra as our primary sutra, then all other sutras become secondary. If we take the Diamond Sutra as the primary, then the Infinite Life Sutra and the Flower Adornment Sutra become the secondary. All bodhisattvas and all sutras are equal in nature. Whichever primary method is chosen, it is praised as number one. However, saying that a certain method is number one does not mean that the others are less important or less effective. If we forget this, then we commit a serious offense. What offense? That of praising ourselves and belittling others. Consider the origin of the Visualization Sutra. When Queen Videhi suffered from overwhelming fortune, from overwhelming family misfortune, she bitterly said to Buddha Shakyamuni that life was filled with suffering, and she asked if there was not a place without suffering, and said that she wished to live in such a world. By applying his supernatural abilities, Buddha Shakyamuni displayed for the queen all the worlds of all the Buddhas in the universe. She vowed to be born into Buddha Amitabha's Western Pure Land, the world of ultimate bliss, and requested that Buddha Shakyamuni teach her how to accomplish this. He taught her how to practice the three conditions, explaining that they were the fundamental causes of attaining Buddhahood. For the Buddhas of the past, present, and future had all used the three conditions. Therefore, they are a crucial part and a foundation of our practice. The three conditions are the basis of Buddhism and are crucial in our attainment of Buddhahood. To be a virtuous person, it is necessary to first follow the three conditions. In the sutras, we often see the phrase good men and good women. What are the requirements for being good? Meeting each of the 11 principles contained in the three conditions. Thus, we will see that the requirements are stringent. Good men and women in the human and heaven realms need only meet the first condition. Theravada students, sutras, only require practitioners to fulfill the first and second conditions. But for Mahayana practitioners, good men and women must meet all three conditions. As we see in Mahayana sutras such as the Earth Treasure Sutra and the Infinite Life Sutra, it is to live our lives in accordance with these 11 principles. Failure to satisfy any one of these principles would prohibit a person from being considered good. Regardless of what the Buddha taught, the methods of learning and cultivation, or the reality of life and the universe, all accord with the three conditions. All accord with the great perfection. The 11 principles of the three conditions are likewise perfect in every word. The first condition concerns the great good fortune required to be a human or heavenly being, and includes being filial to our parents, being respectful to our teachers and elders, being compassionate and not killing any living beings, and following the 10 good conducts. Consider the first and second principles of being filial to our parents and respecting teachers and elders. The Chinese character for filial piety, xiao, is comprised of two parts. The top part, old, means the previous generations, and the bottom part, children, means the future generations. This demonstrates that the previous generations and the future generations are one. They are one rather than two. In our modern world, the existence of the generation gap has resulted in parents and children being two instead of one. This gap contradicts the principle of filial piety, which has no generation gap. The past had its own past. The future will have its own future. The past had no beginning, and the future will have no end. They are one. Filial piety reaches beyond time and extends throughout the universe. In other words, it encompasses the entire universe. Who can practice the principle of filial piety to perfection? Only a Buddha can do so. Without having attained Buddhahood, we cannot achieve the great perfection in practicing filial piety. Filial piety has profound meanings in Buddhism. It means to take care of parents mentally, physically, and to fulfill their wishes. To further extend and enhance our respect and care for our parents, we have compassion for all beings in this world. As stated in a precept sutra, all men are my father, all women are my mother. This is broadening the mind of filial piety so that it encompasses all beings in the universe, in the past, present, and future. Mahayana teachings are based on the principle of filial piety. For without it, there would be no principle of respecting teachers. It is illogical that we are not filial to our parents, yet respectful to our teachers. We could have ulterior motives. For example, flattering the teacher to obtain a better grade. Filial piety and respect go together. At the same time that we are filial to our parents, we also elevate that filial piety to being respectful to our teachers. Only when we realize this truth will we truly appreciate the principle of filial piety. The Earth Treasure Sutra is the Buddha's teaching of filial piety. For only when we treat our parents with such respect can we uncover the infinite treasure within our own self-nature. Being filial towards our parents is a virtue of our self-nature. Only virtuous acts can uncover our self-nature. It is the first and most fundamental principle of the three conditions. The Chinese respect ancestors, even though they are distant to them by hundreds, thousands, or even tens of thousands of years. They memorialize them on important festivals. Why? Their ancestors and they are one entity. There is no gap between them. Sincerely memorializing our ancestors corresponds with our self-nature. If we remember and respect our ancestors, we will certainly be filial to our parents. When we are filial towards our parents, it naturally follows that we will respect our teachers. When we disappoint our parents by not respecting teachers, not following their instructions, and not studying hard, we violate the principle of filial piety. Also, siblings would do well to live in harmony. Not getting along with brothers and sisters will cause parents to worry, thus violating the principle of filial piety. By getting along with others at work, meeting responsibilities, and abiding by laws, we will not cause our parents to worry. Thus, we will accord with the principle of filial piety. These are a true perfection of virtue. Buddha Shakyamuni taught us to begin our learning from here. He is our original teacher from 3,000 years ago. If we respect a teacher from this far in the past, how can we not respect our current teachers? When we pay respect to an image of the Buddha, we are not worshiping him.